Yes, Lord, I adore you. Hallelujah. Give my hand clap tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Jesus Christ tonight, and it's good to be back here, and I really appreciate the atmosphere. Amen. And we're being separated by a vast area of ocean, but praise God for this message that get us connected somehow. Amen. And I bring greetings from my little congregation back there in the Philippines. And so last night we had a wonderful fellowship with Brother Andy and Brother Eli, of course, with Brother Dog, and we talked about the mission works that the Lord is doing. And maybe I will let you sit down for a while, so just to give you a brief report on what the Lord is doing on the other side. Amen. Well, as I mentioned before, Philippines is composed of more than 7,000 islands, and in itself, it's a mission field. You know, that's why we've got lots of things to do out there. We do mission works, and we've got some pioneering works by God's grace. But the Lord has opened doors in Southeast Asia, and you know, I've been doing works in the Muslim country of Indonesia since 2003. And at that time, there were only three churches back then. But the Lord, by God's grace, we were able to conduct some message presentation to various denominational ministers. And now the works have grown so much that even the local assemblies, they're doing their outreaches already. And at that time, I was traveling to Indonesia at least 3-4 times a year to do necessary follow-ups. And for the past 5 years, Indonesia has probably more than 30 churches that are so active already. And that excludes their own outreaches and home Bible studies, so forth and so on. And the good thing there, they're also doing their works. And as Brother Branham said, you know, get the native saved and let the native preach to his own people. So we just want to encourage the local ministry and, you know, not to build kingdoms, but to help one another. And that is what the Lord has done. And then eventually, as the work have grown, the Lord has opened up new doors in Myanmar and Cambodia, in Laos, also in Vietnam, and recently I am also active in Japan. So I baptized few souls in Japan that are actually Japanese, and the last development was that there's a couple who's been missionaries in the denominations for 20 years. And then they got tired of the denominational principles, and they felt in their hearts that they have no idea, but there's something in them that they somehow felt that Nicolaitan spirit working in the denominational system, the organization, the walls that they're building up, and they're being so controlled by strong leadership, so forth and so on, that they didn't know how what's going on, and they just stopped. They disconnected themselves from the organization that is sending them to Ghana and other parts of South Africa, and they were even able to do mission works in the Philippines. And And so when we put our efforts together, at one time I met Brother Craig Boer in North Carolina, and also Brother Timothy Pruitt, and they were active in another province, but I was active in Tokyo because that's where I baptized Japanese. And so I asked them, well, you know, there's so much action that is going on in Tokyo, so why don't we just, there are few people that you're doing works in Gifu, so why don't you just bring them in? And so now the believers got connected. There are Chinese believers that are residents already in Japan. So we were able to put them together, and now the work is also going on there. And Bertin, Timothy, and George Winters, and also Craig are now recently being so active in Japan, and now they are also active in Tokyo. By then, the work in Myanmar is also growing, and probably a year before last year, I was able to hook Brother Doug to speak in our church Thanksgiving, and we also arranged some joint meetings in some areas, and I let them have a foretaste of a piece of the island. We crossed the nearest island, and so we're doing works also in the islands, and I'm inviting Brother Verdog with your permission that in that island we were able to have to pioneer at least 6 churches there, and they're seldom visited by foreign missionaries, and it's a great encouragement to bring in Brother Doug Baker, because the town where we visited is just across those islands, and there are 7 churches there that we do follow-ups, and then on the other side we have 6 churches in different areas of those islands. And so putting them together, close to 15 churches plus maybe 3 to 5 churches that are going with me to those islands. So we will be gathering more or less 20 churches. And we do that in May, where the waves are not so high, it's calm. And so you will enjoy it there. Sometimes, Sister Jennifer, there are dolphins that are traveling with us, you know. I can show you the video later. Oh, I have sent the video. So, you see, this is a great work in the Philippines. And then I'm talking about Myanmar, and I know Brother Doug has been involved in Myanmar for many years, and I've been involved since 2005 in Myanmar. But there's been things that I have observed, and I've been praying for the Lord that, you know, Lord, please give me some new contacts, and if ever, younger translators that you know, can help me go around and deliver this message, and so that the predestinated seed. And I believe there's a bride in Myanmar. And in so short a time, in my previous trips, after my prayer, the Lord has provided, you know, 4 new young translators in different places. And the latest one is that there's a group of independent churches. There's a prominent previous denominational minister that came out of the denomination also, and now he is gathering these workers independently, and they gather every Monday. And then the trip previous to the last one I had with my wife, he gave me opportunity to speak in his workers, about 30 ministers under him, for one session. And you know, they like what I have shared. I just shared about the basics of this message, not mentioning the name of the prophet, but I'm just giving them a clue. There's a message in the last days, you know. And so they like it so much. And then last time with my wife, that leader named Brother Michael Kokomon gave me all the 3 sessions for the whole day. So I spoke 3 times on the same day, and by God's grace, we were also able to revise the church age book that have been printed, which I know you have something to do with it, but by God's grace, It's in an improved version now, and also it's being printed. And so we have initially distributed those seven church age book. And so I said, the workers, you read it, and if you have questions, you know, we can discuss it next time we meet. And Lord willing, I'll be back there in November. And Lord willing, Brother Doug will be going with me, and also Brother Andy. Lord willing, Sister Jennifer also. It's there's now things that are going on, and further in the area, one province in PA province, there's a congregation there. The pastor, his family, and some of his congregation have been baptized already. So that's one of my prayers, to start a new church from the ground, and I believe that's an answer to the prayer. So when I came home, the first time I spoke with my congregation, I told my wife and my congregation, I came back with a happy heart, but also with such a heaviness, you know, because now the prayers have been answered. There's so much open doors now, amen, but we have limited resources, amen, but by God's grace also, amen, we have a great God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And He provides whatever is needed. And so I maintain that principle in the mission works. The three principles. Number one, amen, if there's an open door. And number two, if there is a burden in my heart. And number three, if there is a provision for that. In the absence of one, even if it's open and there is a provision, but my heart is not burdened, you know. Maybe it's an open door for some other to come in, you know. And at times there is a heavy burden, amen. There's a provision, but there's no open door. So you don't have to force your way through, because God, you know, He's the way, you know. And He's a way maker. And of course, even if there's an open door and there's a heavy burden for that, unless God provides. So God is always perfect in three. So with my experiences in the mission work, and so that's why I discussed this with Brother Doug more than 2 years ago. But what have happened to your church last year prevented me to push the issue. Amen. But I'm here now to pressure him. Amen. So at least Brother Doug have visited my church. He saw my family. He saw what I'm doing in the Philippines, and some of the ministers that I am associated with. And you know, I just leave it up. I leave it up to the Lord. And I know, just like that widow woman, you know, he's knocking at the door of that. Amen. How much more if somebody who is a mission-minded, and you know, and I'm glad to see Brother Juan and Sister Susan. They were among the first ones that I met in this church, and so they're like a family to us also. And thank you so much for all your prayers. Amen. So tonight, amen, this is just a simple thought that the Lord has placed in my heart. I know you have heard a lot of preachings, and to have a pastor like Brother Doug, whom I have great respect, sometimes you think, I just shake your hand, Brother Doug, and you know, you know, what else should I preach? Amen. So, but anyway, amen. Just like Brother Branham said, we're just, you know, peoples among the many. And whatever the Lord has placed in my heart, I know, amen, there is a niche, a place, amen, where this simple thought will do. So as I invite you tonight, amen, as we feel the presence of the Lord, I invite you to stand up in reading the scriptures, amen. So we read from the book of Revelation to start with, amen. So this is not a new thing. So we start from Revelation chapter 4, 6 to 8. I like that song. Amen. So chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne were four beasts,
full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And eight, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's just pray. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we commit everything into your mighty hands. Lord, I cannot do anything. I cannot say anything without you speaking, Lord. And I have come here. All of us are needy. And you're going to provide something for our souls tonight. We thank you once again as we give you all the glory and the honor in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may now be seated. All right. Amen. So, at least, Lord willing, we have two potential trips together with Brother Dog, one in November and another in May. So maybe on his way back home, because there's a lot of planes flying from U.S. to Japan. And so either before going to the Philippines or coming from the Philippines, you know, we shall meet in Japan. So you will also meet the believers in Japan. We've got only few believers there, but you know, Japan is such a Brother Branham spoke something about Japan, and when I first read that, you know, there's something that really struck my heart, and I since then I started to pray, and the burden keeps heavy, you know, and until the Lord gave me an open door, and in my first trip, Lord, just give me sign that you want me to be involved in the ministry in Japan. And the Lord gave me two Japanese souls that I baptized, a mother and her son, and until now they continue on. So I believe that's already a confirmation. Two is a witness. So now my trip to Indonesia, I'm cutting it down to one trip every year, or maybe once every other year, because even Cambodia, we already turned it over to some other brothers that can do work, because you know, we only have one body and we're limited. It's good that we have other brothers that can do the work. You know, we cannot do everything. Amen. So, and we also have to preserve this body as much as we can. Amen. So, but we're not afraid to do what the Lord, you know, has placed in our hearts. You know, in Indonesia, I had an experience in Indonesia, because 90% of Indonesian population is a Muslim, you know. Right. And so there's a pastor there. His name is Brother Martinus. And they are a big family, but his father was the only Christian in the whole family. The rest were Muslims. And so one time, his grandmother died. And the following day, I'm flying back home to the Philippines. And that night, he said, you know, my grandmother is in the funeral, and you know, we're going to visit, and if you want to go with us, you know, you can go. But because we are Christians, he said, we cannot come close to the body of my dead grandmother. We can just look a little bit in the distance, you know. So it's a traditional thing. So okay, I go with you. When it's their time to look to their grandmother, the Brother Martinus left me in one place, and he introduced me to his uncle and said, "This is my uncle." And I remember, oh, this is his uncle, and I know he's a Muslim. And so we talk, and then so you're from the Philippines, he said. So you look like Indonesian. He said, "Yeah, I'm from the Philippines. I'm going home tomorrow. So what are you doing here?" And it was just not natural. And he said, "Well, I'm a minister, and I preach here." "So you're a Christian?" "Yeah, yeah, I'm a Christian." "Oh, yeah, so you're a Christian." And this Muslim uncle of Brother Martino said, "Well, you know, I hate Christians." I said, Lord, I'm going home tomorrow. And now my friend Martinez is far away. Amen. I'm helpless, you know. So I said, well, so when I caught myself and said, well, how come you hate Christians, sir? Oh, yeah, you see, you know, one time in history, you know what have happened? You know, they killed the Muslims in Jerusalem and they almost wiped out. Okay. Oh, is that so? Amen. Now, so I have idea about that. So you know it? He said, yeah, I have idea about it, sir. So what can you say about it? Well, maybe the reason why I'm here, brother, is to tell you that they're not actually Christians. They're not Christians. They carry the cross. Yeah. And who are they? They're Roman Catholic people. And he opened his eyes and said, is that so? Yeah, they're Roman Catholic. They're not actually Christians. So Roman Catholic people are not Christians? No, they're pagans. And I said, and I am here to expose them. He said, oh, is that so? Okay. Now, he said, next time you come to Indonesia, you visit my office. Why? Yeah, because there are many Catholics in my office. They don't want to be converted in Islam. You preach to them. So we became friends. Thank God. Amen. So God is good, and so I know that the Lord will protect us wherever we go. And you know, the prophet of God said, you know, we stand for the word. Amen. We stand for the truth. This truth will stand for us. Amen. And God is obligated to His word. Amen. Because we have the word in us, you know, God is not obligated to us, but God is obligated to His word. Amen. So that's why in the scripture that we have just read, I want to speak about the four throne guards. Amen. And you see in the scriptures that we have read, you know, in the throne, that's the center and surrounding the Bible said, around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Amen. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Amen. And so we fully understand in the message, amen, that these are four major anointings, amen, of the same God, amen, and this is the same power. Amen. But Branham said, you know, beast means power. And there are only two powers. Amen. It's the power of God. Amen. Against the power of Satan. Amen. So anything that is against God is satanic. Amen. So that's why you see, and you see God has a pattern. And everything any pattern that God has started, God keep that pattern. Amen. He keeps that pattern all throughout. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And everything, you know, even when God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle. Amen. God said, build it according to the pattern that I have shown you. Amen. And you see, prophets are seers. Amen. And so when God said, build it according to the pattern that I have shown you, that means Moses, amen, was being caught up by God and he was caught up in such a place, just like Paul, he was sent by God beyond the curtain of time. Just like Brother Branham, he was transported beyond the curtain of time. And Moses being the prophet, you know, it was not only shown to him like just something, even although prophets can see a vision, but I believe God, amen, has given the privilege, gave that privilege to his prophet Moses. That's why he can say, amen, build it according to the pattern that I have shown you. Amen. Amen. So everything was patterned in heaven. So, amen, the pattern in heaven. So all these things, that's why you see the pattern of the tabernacle. We see that same pattern. Amen. When Moses built the tabernacle, it was surrounded by four. You know, the tribes were divided into four. Amen. And we see the flags, the banner. Amen. That they have carried. Amen. Just like there is a lion in heaven, there is also a lion. Like the tribe of Judah, who's the leader. Amen. So it's the same. It's the same banner, just like it was. It is in heaven. Amen. And so there is, on the other side, you see, there is an ox. Amen. And also there is an ox flag, banner in the tribe of Israel. Amen. And also the same with the face of a man. The same thing. There is a face of a man. And also there is, the last one is the flying eagle. Yeah. Amen. And then all throughout, Brother Branham said, continued on, even in the New Testament, the center of the New Testament is the acts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is being protected by the four Gospels. And these four Gospels, amen, have the same anointing. They have the same inspiration. Brother Branham said, you see, Matthew presented Jesus Christ, amen, in his book. Amen. They present the same thing. But because of the anointing that they had, Matthew present Jesus Christ as the King of Kings. Amen. He's the judge in his writings. And then later on, you read on the presentation of Mark, and Mark wrote something about the sufferings of Christ, you know, and it's like the ox that was the inspiration. And then later on we have Luke, he's called being Dr. Luke because of the way he presented, you know, and then the last part, you see, John is the fourth, he's the eagle. Just like eagle, you know, John being the eagle, just, you know, eagle. Don't the three bees, all of them started in milk. The lion started in milk. Amen. The ox starts in milk. Even the man, we start in milk. Amen. But the eagle never started with milk. Amen. Started with meat. Amen. So that's why John, even in the first verse, there's no more introduction. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. No more introduction. No more explanation. He said, in the beginning was the Word. Why? Because He is the eagle among the group. So now we're talking about these guards, and under that we have the subtitle. We'd like to give a subtitle on this subject about the four pillars of our faith. Amen. And so these are, I don't have to speak on the you know, the message in itself is already deep, amen. So I do not want to attempt to present you something, but I just want to show you things about these four throne guards, which I call the four pillars of our faith. And you see, as it is patterned in heaven in the Old Testament, and then later on, you see the in the tabernacle during the time of Moses in the New Testament in the book of Acts, and even in the church ages. Amen. So even in the church ages, so you see, if you divide the church ages, amen, into four, amen, you see the pattern on top. Amen. So the first anointing that was shown or being displayed by the apostles were the lion anointing. Amen. And so that lion anointing, and then later on, when this lion anointing and then when the horse rider, white horse rider, moved into another horse, which was red. Amen. And that red anointing of Satan was the persecution, the inquisition, the suffering. Amen. And many Christians died. Amen. And even the, you see, Brother Branham said, even the historian could not even write what they have witnessed. Because how come God, you know, could just cross his arms watching his people? Amen. These people have worshipped him. These people have respected him. These people have served him. And yet, God let them die like that. Amen. They could not understand. But the Christians, They have the revelation. And Brother Branham said, you cannot live higher than your revelation. So when the horse rider moved from the white horse, amen, he moved into the red horse, amen, giving him power to kill, amen, and then the Christians just absorbed it. Because God has released another power, another inspiration, and so they could carry on, amen, and took upon themselves the suffering that were being brought about by the message, amen, that they believed, and they lived the message of the hour in their day. Amen. They cannot do otherwise because that was the inspiration. Amen. So they caught the inspiration and they lived out that inspiration. And so they were willing, they were able to give their lives. Amen. Why? Because of the anointing that was God. Amen. So God was protecting something. In that way, God is preserving something. There is a life. Amen. There was a life that have started. Amen. Before it was being polluted, there was a life. Amen. And then by the preaching of Paul, and then God kept this life. It moved. Amen. And so Satan is confused. Amen. So, at first, they were strong. The disciples were like lions, roaring lions. Amen. Because the anointing was so pressed in them. Amen. But God, you know, he will always overcome Satan. And so now Satan was so confused. We're killing these Christians. And yet they continue to spread out. Amen. And so then he moved to another horse which was black. Amen. And that black horse, amen, it was at the same time, you know, the same in the dark ages. That's why at that time, God has given the anointing. He gave that anointing to the... He inspired men. Yeah. Amen? And they were educated. Yeah. They were intellectuals, we could say. Amen? And so, the Bibles were being confiscated. And yet, amen, God provided ministers. Amen? So, that's why we can hear of missionaries. Amen? And Brother Branham made mention about them people, you know, Zwingli and all these ministers during those times up to Martin Luther. Amen? And they had the anointing of a man. Martin Luther, you know, he saw the truth, the just shall live by faith. He was translating the Bible under the instruction of the Roman Catholic faith. Amen. But God inspired him to see the light. Amen. In his day. Amen. And so that the just shall live by faith and by that little light. Amen. And then it started to spread and they started protesting because, amen, the Roman Catholic Church have kept the truth and now they are teaching otherwise. Amen. Invented on purgatories, indulgences, so forth and so on. You have to pay. I came from a Roman Catholic nation. And I knew how Catholic operates. I graduated high school in a Roman Catholic school. I graduated college in a Roman Catholic school. I know how it is. But praise God, thank God for His message. Amen. And so now, amen, God opened the eyes and God inspired Martin Luther. And that started in that little spark. Amen. Why? And so the anointing, the intellectual, the they were educated and they saw, amen, the truth in their day. Amen. But God moved in this day and age. Amen. That He moved into the flying eagle anointing. Amen. And so in the church ages, so it's moving now. I can even understand, even in the message, Brother Doc. Amen. You know, in the Philippines, my father-in-law was among the pioneers. And my wife was telling me how these pioneer message ministers, you know, they were standing in front of the Roman Catholic Church and some denominational church, and these ministers are shouting, "Come out of her, my people!" They caught the lion anointing in this message. But later on, you know, when this 1977 prediction, amen, have been dated by the denominational ministers, come, see, is that a prophet? Amen? That would have happened. Amen? Some doubted the message. They see, how come? Amen? But praise God, God is not a loser. But there's still pioneer ministers who still carried on. They carried the burden in their hearts. And even though there were some questions, even though, you know, there are some other things that have come out, and yet they knew there is truth in the message of the hour, and they still pushed through with it. They carried on this message and continued to spread out in the whole islands of the Philippines. Amen. And now we have more than 500 churches in the Philippines feasting on this message of the hour. Why? Because there were people who, even though they were being questioned, they were being insulted, they were being called any names, various names like cults whatsoever, deceived whatsoever, but they still carried on. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then later on, you know, the message books continued on. It flooded now to the Philippines. Now I worked with Bible believers at that time as one of the translators, and so the message are being translated, and so the message now is in the hand, not only of the ministers but of every believer. Amen. Amen? And everybody got excited, you know. And at the same time, when this message being printed out, being distributed in my country, there comes the strange doctrines. And when we have ministers meeting, we're up on our sleeves. Amen? And we get some, oh, this quotation is against two souls. This quotation is against two lords. This quotation, everything gets so excited, but they become intellectually, you know, they get the intellectual side of this message, and they become so, they argue. Amen? And up to now, there are ministers who still stay in that man anointing of this message because they kept on arguing. They tell this is the only truth. Unless you see it, you're not being called. You're not the bride. Amen. But let me tell you, you cannot deceive the eagle. Amen. But we pass on with all these kinds of anointing, and we moved on, and we take this message of the hour as the fresh meat. Amen. And so now, so that's why with this kind of principles, this is the same thing. Amen. But now we move on. I want to put this in a concise presentation that every believer could see. Amen. By God's grace, by God's help. Amen. That all these four anointings are being sealed in every individual. Predestinated seed of God. Amen. And what are this? Amen. And what are these four pillars of our faith, or the four throne guards? Amen. Let me read you a scripture here. Amen. In Acts chapter 16. It's very familiar. He said in verse 22, I'm going to read it a little bit faster. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Amen? So there is something here. You see, after they preached the gospel, they testified about the word of God in their time, And then they were being arrested, they were being beaten, amen. Their upper clothes were being removed, amen. So they have lots of wounds, amen. But later on, it became scars. But in that same evening, he said, at midnight, they were not in a comfortable condition. Amen? And you see, they testified about the truth. Amen? So you see, Paul was being converted, amen, from his denominational belief into the message of his day. And that was what he was preaching and testifying. Amen? Because, you know, Brother Branham said, you cannot give what you do not have. Alright? And so they believed something and they wanted to share it. And as a result, it didn't do good on the physical side. Amen? So they were bruised, they were suffering, and then but at midnight, amen, they did something. And of course, they did too. He said, they prayed and sung praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That means they sung praises, they worship. Amen? So I see that our worship, I was inside, and while we were worshiping, I went out the office. And so we were just right here, and we were worshiping with you, and Bird Dog mentioned me about the story of the piano behind, and I got excited about it. Sometimes you get excited, you know, although it's history, but somehow you get excited on things, you know. And I just, you know, with my little imagination, brother, can you take me a picture? I don't know how to play piano. I don't know how to play. Amen. I was waiting for that piano to play again. But somehow, you see, amen, our worship. Amen. Our worship is the form of the lion anointing that we have right now. Now, this is not a doctrine, but somehow, amen, look at it. Look, you know, you see, when we worship, why? When we worship, we set the atmosphere. Now, if you remember Saul in his time, when David started to, you know, when he picked up the harp, and he started to play, and he started to sing, he started to worship, and Saul was filled with the evil spirit in him. And the Bible said, as David was worshiping, the evil spirit in Saul were driven out. Without even casting out, you know, but by the sound, by the worship of David, amen, the evil spirit went out. Amen. That's why sometimes, all the time, when we come to church, sometimes our brethren, you know, we come to church, they come to church with a heavy heart, they have a very, you know, big problem whatsoever, sick, amen. But just the moment we sat down, amen, and the soft music starts to play, and the atmosphere is being set, even without preaching the word yet. Amen. We feel better than we entered the door of the church. Why? Because you see, all, you know, the demons will always try to discourage us. The demon will always try to, you know, to distract us whatsoever. Hallelujah. But when we start, and then the musicians start to play, And so the song leader starts to sing, and then we come, we sing in unison, we worship together, and then we you know, our worship, amen, the spirit is being centered on one thing, and that is to please God. Hallelujah. Now, hallelujah. So the demons are out, they have no place. Hallelujah. Why? Because we worship God, we worship together, and now we are in the same channel together.
You just think what worship can do. Amen. Even the housewives, you know, you can testify. At times, you know, the brother leaves the house and go to the office or go to the mission works. If he's a minister. And then at times you're alone in the house. And then the kids go to school. And then you see all this laundry thing, all this kitchen. Amen. And then you start the day and, you know, at times being human, oh, it's all over again. I did this yesterday and I have to do it all over again. It's the same thing all the time. All right? It's the demon. With those little things coming in, trying to enter into a certain channel. All right? But once you get into the channel, you start to sing. Not just sing, but worship. Amen. Shall I, must I bear this burden alone? And then now, you know, things that when you were not worshiping, things become so heavy. But when you start to worship, everything becomes so light. You're being released of all these burdens. Amen. Why? You know, now, you know, even, you know, when you use, you know, this thing, and sometimes you have, you're dancing and you don't realize it. Amen. You know, you say in the Philippines, you know, not everybody has a laundry machine. You know, some of our sisters just still use the old manual thing. Amen. But you see, when you do works and you mix that with worship. Everything becomes positive. So you have the lion in you. That worship thing, amen, can drive out the demon spirit, the negative things. Even by just worshiping, you know, healing can come. When you sing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if that demon can leave Saul, by David playing the harp and sing a song of worship to the Lord, he's the same God. Amen. And so now, that's the same thing. They were not in a comfortable condition. And at midnight, Paul said, Silas, come, let's worship the Lord. And Silas said, well, I'm just waiting for your signal, Paul. And, you know, they started to worship. And suddenly healing comes in. They don't feel the bruise, you know, all this beaten bodies, you know, was no longer in pain. That's why they could worship aloud. And the prisoners could hear them. And not only in the whole prison house, but their worship went beyond the realm, the physical realm, but went up and farther, higher, and it reaches to the throne of God. Amen. That it touches, it inspired. Amen. And God has to send angels. Amen. And so look. Amen. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. Amen. When we worship, all the doors are open. Our hearts are open. Amen. We could be, sometimes we're so selfish. Sometimes we're so proud. We don't want to open up. And that's why we're carrying all these burdens. Amen. But during the time of worship, all the channels, all the doors open. Hallelujah. And even the doors of our heart. Amen. Even our eyes. It opens up and tears flow from it. Hallelujah. And instead, there was a great shaking. Sometimes people are so hard. Amen? But the anointing, the inspiration can catch them and soften their hearts, soften their heads, soften their characters, so that God can move. Amen. And so here, and suddenly, and then immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. I'm not just thinking about those prisoners whose bands were loosed. Amen. But, you know, people, a drug addict, a drunkard can come in. He has nothing, has no idea about the thing that we believe. But once he caught, amen, the inspiration, there is something that is being released out of him. Amen. He's being freed from all these kinds of spiritual slavery. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Amen. No preaching yet. Think about it, brother. Worship. The prison in charge. You know, you should be you should have a hard personality to be a prison guard. But the place was so shaken. Amen? That it did not only shook the prison house, but it even shook his heart. That for the very first time in his life, he asked, "What shall I do to be saved?" Amen. And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." It didn't stop in the prison. It didn't stop with that jail head. It went through to their house, to his home and his family. Amen. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. But beyond worship, of course we, you know, Brother Branham said, you know, when we worship, he said in one of his messages, the title Pride, he said, "I hate to hear an overtrained voice when they stand up to sing and get some kind of a note till they hold it so long, till they get blue in the face, just to show the congregation how long they can hang on for their dear life." "And when they come back down, them people's not praising God. There's minds on their note." Amen? That's why God is always looking for the worship of His people. Amen? Because we worship. Our worship, form of worship comes from our hearts. Amen? And not only that, amen, we worship not by just our voice. You know, sometimes they ask me, "Brother Danny, there's a lot of Filipino believers and ministers that can sing. Can you give us a song?" I told them, you know, in my church, if I sing, they shout, "Brother Danny, preach it!" But I know how to worship. Amen. And so I like this part when Brother Benham said, "All right, here was voices." Well, how we need in Jeffersonville is added to Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness, purity, undefiled lives. Walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Yes, sir, real Christians. That's thunder against the enemy.
The devil don't care how loud you can holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump or how much you can do this or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see that sanctified, holy life, consecrated to God. Say anything to him, call him anything, just as sweet as it can be, and move right on. Oh my, that throws him away. That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Amen. Amen. We can worship. Amen. But part of that is the lived voices. Amen. Hallelujah. And then, you know, it goes, you know, worship, and then prayer goes with it. Amen. And you see, the second beast is the ox. And an ox is burden bearer. Amen. And bearing the burden is making intercessions. Amen. Paul interceded for his people. He birthed his people. Moses, he birthed his people. He stood in the gap. He stood in the gap. God wanted to destroy. Amen. God wanted to destroy these people because they become hard-headed. Amen. But Moses stood in between and said, Lord, amen. You see, by your strong hand, you saved these people from the arms of Pharaoh and your enemy. And then you lead them. You divided the Red Sea and bring them here. And then you're going to kill them here. Amen. And Moses even told God, repent. Amen. And in some other parts, Prophet Moses said, if you're going to kill them, just kill me. He stood. He carried that burden. He had compassion for his people. And you know, Brother Branham said, this is the time when we lose our feeling. Even himself, he said, he lost the feeling. Because people get worse and worse and worse. And you know why? In this generation, you know, you see in the social media and everything, everybody becomes so selfie, you know. Everybody wants to be the center of attraction, getting all the attention whatsoever. Amen. Because this is being prophesied. That in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. Amen? But this message does not go with the world. Amen? This message transformed us and brought us into another direction, that this world is leading the people in this age. Amen? But you see, now, you know, I do not want to be legalistic of some sort. But somehow, even, you see now, you know, you go to social media, okay? At times, you know, sometimes, you know, we want to greet somebody and somebody say, oh, pray for me, I have a sick, or sometimes I have a burden, I have a problem, you know. And you know, at times, people, instead of saying, okay, my brother, I'm praying for you. We shall be praying for you. Amen? At times, people get lazy. Because there are, you know, what do you call this? Emoticons? Where you can just click the symbols. And instead of saying, I pray for you, you just click once. Does that mean you prayed already? I like you. But sometimes we don't realize. But you know, Brother Branham said, when you pray, you pray for your brother, you pray for your sister, you need to enter. Enter into their situation. be identified. Put yourself in their shoes. And many times, Brother Branham said, you know, many times, amen, I pray for my for my need, but oftentimes, and when I pray for others, it gives me a better feeling. Amen. Now, there's a direct quote, and let me just tell you about it. Brother Branham said, you know, why these meetings are so successful? He mentioned in one of his meetings that he said, you don't know it. You don't see them. But there are sisters. They're praying, fasting for 7 days. See the power of prayer. They carry the burden, praying for the prophet, praying for the people. And because of them, you know, they're not being known. And yet, they are, you know, sisters sometimes, you know. But we do things at times that it's powerful. We shake the heaven by our prayers because we bear the burden. Lord, I pray for my pastor. Use him mightily. He's, you know, in another country. Protect him, Lord. Amen. I don't know. But sometimes some of my people are guilty when I say, you know, sometimes I go to missions. And I know most of you, I receive good messages praying for you, Pastor. You know, the Lord will give you more souls for God's glory. And that kind of encouraged us, Brother Dog. Amen. But at times, we have people, and you know, we do not condemn them. You know, at times we're in the mission, he said, you know, Brother Danny, please pray for me. Amen. There's nothing wrong. It's our work to pray. But you see, we're in a foreign land. We're in the mission work. We're not in a vacation. And yet, you know, I'm not saying don't do that. If you really need, you know, we're more than happy to pray for you. Amen? But you see, at times, we are in a foreign field and the situation is sometimes not comfortable. Things are not easy. Amen? And then you get messages, you know, I have a problem, I have financial problem, all these things. You're adding burdens. But can you be an ox? Amen? That you spend time and then, you know, you kneel down, you know, that neology principle, and Lord, I pray for my pastor, Lord, open doors. You know, let's shake the heaven by our prayers and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So in that way, things will become lighter and lighter because we bear one another's burden by prayers. Amen. And so we stand in the gap. We take at times, you know, we become the shock absorber. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, let's read Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. He said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I like that part. For he thinketh, as he thinketh in his heart. You know, sometimes when we think, it's our mind. But the Bible said, as he thinketh in his heart. Amen? Because where is your faith? It's in your heart. Amen? That's why when Malachi 4 was being fulfilled, amen, his message, turn our hearts back. Amen? So it's our heart. Amen? And so we think. And that, you know, when we think by heart, that's faith. And faith is being built up, and faith is a revelation. Right. Amen? So that's why, when you think of your mind, you know, Brother Branham said, the devil works in the mind.
But God works in the heart of His people. Amen? The devil puts his throne in the mind. That's why the battle is here. But God's throne, the third throne, is in the heart. Amen? So that's why our faith is being developed. First, by hearing the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen? And so everything is, you know, that's why faith is against all odds. Abraham, amen, saw something that the rest of the people in his nation never saw. Amen. And that's why something happened. Because he thinketh not by his mind, but he thinketh by his heart. By faith, amen, he looked for a city whose maker and builder was God. Amen. So that's why this message is not based upon the things that you learn from a seminary, amen, from a theological schools, amen. There is a young translator that worked with me in my previous trips, in my previous two trips. The brother, the pastor that I baptized happened to be his father-in-law, and his father-in-law, who was not so educated, had enough wisdom. And he said, "Brother Danny, it's hard for me to share this message to my son-in-law, but is it all right if he can translate for you? You know, in that way he can hear the message." Yeah, we can do that, because I have an experience in Cambodia that my translator, I paid for a denominational minister to translate for me. Amen? And eventually, after the meetings, people decided to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 of them got baptized, and then he was translating up to the swimming pool that we rented for the baptism of these 9 souls. And then after I baptized the 9th soul, amen, I was preparing myself to go up. And he said, wait. Amen, I want to be baptized also. Amen. Hallelujah. So in my previous trip, he was translated to get paid. But now he's translating to get souls. Hallelujah. And so it's the same thing that have happened. If it happened before, amen, God can do it again. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, yeah, bring him in. Amen. And so now, after these things, and he said, after all our presentation, he said, "Yeah, Brother Danny, you know, I graduated Bible school in India, and then I'm teaching, in the Bible school also. But I have not seen this truth regarding the book of Revelation." Amen? So you see, you cannot get the revelation by education. You get revelation by your heart. When you humble yourself. Amen? And so you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, it's the same thing. And so God, amen, is working in the heart of His people, and He keeps on revealing Himself. And so, you know, it is always good to have a clear heart, a clear conscience. Amen? God is always working on the heart. Amen? Because the heart is the altar. During the time of Elijah, he restored the altar because it has been broken down. Amen. All those religious people have, you know, just like Isaiah said, you know, the tables are full of vomit and everything. Amen. In the time of Elijah, they damaged the altars and everything. But because of that principle, Elijah was a restorer, and he repaired the altar. Amen. So he restored the altar. The same thing with our Elijah in this day. He restored our faith. He turned our hearts back to the faith of our fathers. Amen. So our hearts must be correct first. Amen. So what's the use of a good revelation if your heart is not right? So that's why there are many people trying to be ministers of this message. Amen. But their hearts are not right yet. They are not being born again. But they get the intellectual part of the message, and they have it here in their head. But it didn't fall in their hearts. Hallelujah. So that's why they cannot humble themselves. Amen. Amen. They can win When people, amen, obey and follow their leadership, but they cannot get the people back to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But when this word touches our hearts, it can correct our hearts and it can correct our lives. Amen. And let me tell you, amen. So when Elijah repaired the altar, there was no sacrifice yet. Amen.
But when he repaired the altar, it was being restored in its original condition. And then, the evening sacrifice. What's that? The word. Amen. So, when we worship, when we pray, and we have the right heart, you know, Brother Branham said, at times, you know, your prayers are not being answered. You feel your prayers are not being answered. At times you feel just God is so far. And at times your prayers are just bumping into the ceiling. Amen. Brother Branham said, at times we have to check our hearts. Because it can hinder the answers for our prayers. Amen. And just like to imagine when we worship. Amen. It's like cultivating the soil. And then when we know how to pray, God's way, we pray the right thing. Amen. We pray for others instead of our own needs. Because eternal life is living for others. So with these three things, and on the fourth part, just like John, you know, it's the meat. It's the eagle's food. And then we have the word. Amen. And so that's why this pulpit, Brother Branham said, this pulpit, amen. Last time I preached something about the name of the Lord as a strong tower. Amen. And this pulpit is the closest place in heaven that is available here on earth. Amen. Because our pulpit is our standard. It's the tower. And here is where the word comes through. Amen? So that's why you can see the lives of the people and you can tell what the pastor preached. Amen. Because it's our standard. It's the word. Hallelujah. And so all these things are worship. Amen? Our prayers, our heart's condition, and the word that we hear. These are the four pillars of our faith. These are the four throne guards. And it's the same pattern all throughout from heaven to the tabernacle, to the book of Acts, guarded by the four gospels, the four anointings in the church ages. And now all these anointings are in the bride. That's why we cannot worship the denomination. You know, they can carry tunes and everything, but they cannot provide the worship that God is looking for. Only the bride, amen, can bring out the new song. Why? Because we've got the revelation of God's word in this hour. Hallelujah. And that's why we're not tired of praying. Amen. Because you know, Brother Ben said, you can eat much, you can eat more, you can be overfed. But you cannot be over-prayerful. Amen? So do not lower your standard of worship. Do not lower your standard of prayer. Do not lower the standard of your heart's condition. Hallelujah. But do not compromise. We don't compromise this word. And if all these things keep the balance, the worship, the prayer, the heart's condition, the life of the people. Amen. And the word that we're hearing. Amen. Our faith is being guarded. Amen. We have strong foundation. Amen. And I believe when God says, that's why the capstone is here. Amen. You know, because the shoulder is already prepared. Amen. To receive. Amen. That capstone, which is the word of God in this generation. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me read this last quote, and he said, "Now Brother Branham shared about one thing in his it's an old message, but I like what he said. He said, Brother Branham, he said, I don't do nothing. Maybe that's what's the matter. That's the trouble of it. It's more sin not to do than it is to do when you know better. That's right. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. You got to make ready. Doing nothing is the worst thing you can do. Do nothing about it. He mentioned about Southerners, about the soldiers. He said, you Southerners, remember your history? When up here, when Grant was sitting just across the river, and he had a boy out there on guard duty. And the rebels were across the river, and this boy, walking along there kind of days around with the dreams of his sweetheart, he left his post of duty and went down to pick some violets to send to his sweetheart. He didn't mean to do wrong. He went. Then at that time, there was a spy ready for the Southern army. And they slipped in. And they looked around. They found out that the Southern army was two or three times the size of General Grant's. Well, what happened? The boy came back on the post of duty not knowing what had happened. But the spy had already been there. And what happened? They stormed across the river and drove them plumb back up into the state. And that boy was shot an hour later. Amen? They didn't have no objection to him picking the violets. It wasn't what he'd done. It was the things he didn't do. He didn't stand to his post of duty. He didn't guard the post like he was supposed to. And he spoiled the thing. Amen? All of us have a portion in the ministry. Don't tell me you're not a minister and you have no function in the church. You do have. Everyone has a portion in the body. Whether you're praying, amen? It's everybody's portion. You support the cause, you support the ministry, amen? You know, our deacons, you protect. The pastor, Brother Branham mentioned one time, because there was a pastor that was being shot because he didn't want his wife to go in that church. And that pastor died. And Brother Branham said, if only the deacons were on their post of duty. Amen. That church did not lose the pastor. Amen. So, you see, we have our post of duty. You know, we don't worship God because God, we have so much material blessings. Amen? When we're blessed, worship God more. Amen? Amen. When you're comfortable, worship God more. Serve Him more. Amen. And when we have problems, when we have burdens, amen, worship God more. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to stand on our post of duty. Do not lower our standard. Amen. Don't let your problems lower your standard of worship. Hallelujah. Don't allow your burdens, your sickness, and whatever you have in your life, lower your burdens of prayers. Amen. And you young people, don't go with like the rest of the world. Don't lower your standard, your manner of dressing, the way you conduct yourself, because modernization have just come in. Don't lower your standard of living in Christ. Amen. And we as ministers of the gospel, we commit ourselves not to compromise this word. Hallelujah. We're not going to lower our standard. We will stay faithful until come the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet. Amen. And commit to the Lord. Hallelujah. That all these principles of our faith, amen, become so, you know, in the level where the soul will be protected. Yes. As God protected, amen, the Holy Spirit by the four Gospels in the book of Acts. Amen. Although God is so powerful, still He placed all these beasts to surround His throne. Right. Amen. That means God wants us to do something. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You love Him tonight? Amen. I love Him more and more. Love Him more and more. Don't tell me, you know,
People at times, you know, I'm old enough. I've been in the message so long. I don't have to, you know, go to church early and still worship. I just go, you know, when the preaching of the word comes. Amen. Don't lower our standard of worship. Worship has a part. Prayer has a part. Our hearts has a part. The word has a part. Everything has a part. Don't lower these walls. Amen. And you see, when we lower our form of worship, you know, sometimes there are many churches that are being influenced, you know, by the songs of the denominations, and they sing like the denominations, you know. Amen. They lower the standard just to invite people. No. Keep your standard. You know, I like the way you worship here. Amen. I really feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And you know, this message will always bring us, amen, to the right direction. Amen. I've got pairs of scripture that I want to leave here, because there's a man by the name of Paul. I know we know him. He's the messenger in his age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. Now, this part of the book in Corinthians was written in AD 59. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not to meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He said, "I am the least." You know, this message will make us small. Paul, when he was Saul, he thought himself as big. Amen? But when God changed his name, he became small. And at that time, when Paul, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles." And then 4 years after that, he wrote the book of Ephesians. And in that book, he said, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints." You see how this message will bring us? Amen? But a man that is not converted in his heart, but is converted in his mind. He received this word, this message in his head, not in his heart. It will make him big. Amen. It will blow his head. He will think of himself as bigger than the rest. And that is not God's standard. But I, you know, I believe the more we receive of the message, the more we bring our worship higher, the standard. Amen. It keeps ourselves smaller and smaller. Just like Paul, he said, "I am the least of the apostles." But 4 years after that, he said, "I am less than the least." Hallelujah. That's the standard that this message will bring us. Hallelujah. And you know, when we humble ourselves, that's like, you know, all these four beasts, they have six wings. And Brother Branham preached about that. The pair of wings covered their face. The other pair covered their knees. And the other pair continued to flap and fly. And Brother Branham said, that's the respect, humility in action. Amen. Hallelujah. So this message will keep us respect and humble ourselves. And it will keep us working for God's glory. Amen. God bless you. As I turn over the pulpit to Bird Dog, God bless you, Bird Dog. Love you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We certainly have the greatest thing that's hit the face of the earth, don't we? Amen. And just, I so appreciate it when a brother comes from another place, it's the same spirit, and it could even be the same ministering gift, but it's a different administration of it, you know. So God doesn't just have a machine where he just cranks things out and they're all the same. He gives us such a variety, and I just so appreciate that, don't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to invite our song leader to come just lead us in worship here for a moment. We do love to worship the Lord, Brother Danny. Yeah.